Thank you. All lines are now bridged.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the HITECH's annual report workgroup meeting for March 1st. We will call the meeting to order, starting with roll call. Carolyn Peterson.
I'm here.
Erin Meary.
I'm here.
Christina Caraballo.
I am here.
Fred Oliver.
Hey, good afternoon, here.
Jesse Richards. Maybe Chester will join us later. With that, I know we are in the home stretch of our annual report, so I know we are eager to get started, and I will turn it over to our co-chairs.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for coming to our latest meeting of the work group. It's great to see the progress we've made and to see how close we are to presenting what we hope will be the final draft to the fall HITECH and getting approval. So here's our agenda, call to order and roll call, some opening remarks, and then we'll get to looking at the updates and feedback we've received from the HITECH members and do some planning for our next meeting. Now I'll pass the mic to Erin for his comments.
Yeah, no, I echo that, and I really want to thank this work group for this amazing output. And again, I say this every meeting, but I mean, I think proof is in the pudding. ONC team, you're amazing. And I think the overall meeting that we had with the HITECH the other week shows that how much just general agreement there was, and we'll talk more about any feedback today. But overall, I mean, this for the first go-around for an annual report that's due to the Congress, just hats off. And so I just thank the ONC, and I thank this committee, and I thank the team for the excellent work. Back to you, Carolyn.
Ditto on the thanks to ONC. They've been stellar in helping us get this done, and I think it really shows. So with that, let's go to the next slide. I think we've all seen this more times than we can remember, but we're just about at the point of completion. Go through the comments today and present this at the HITECH meeting in 3 weeks, not even 3 weeks, 19 days. And then hopefully have some break time before we get started on the fiscal year 19 version. Next slide, please. So just a meeting left where we'll present the final to HITECH, and then again, HITECH will move on and take that to HHS Secretary and Congress. Next slide, please. So today we want to go through a discussion about the comments and feedback that we received from HITECH members. There was some discussion at the full HITECH meeting last week. We also received quite a bit more via email, and our intention today is to go through that and make some decisions about how to handle those comments with regard to changes to the report or listing things in an appendix or what we feel is the best way to address these comments. Next slide, please. So again, here's our annual report structure. I think we're all pretty familiar with this, and we will work through the comments in a similar order. Next slide, please. Executive summary, we've covered this in depth, and we will ensure that what we do in one document is reflected in the other, so there is consistency across the two documents. Next slide, please. Landscape analysis, background, some suggestions. So here's where we start to get to the nitty-gritty.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to work through these, Erin? I think you handled the
interview. Sure. Yeah, sure. We'll do the same order that we did last time for the HITECH. So from a background perspective, the suggestion around ability was to discuss if the primary problem is the lack of or non-use of universal code to label discrete observations like LOINC. And then so the patient's experience of the HIE, the suggestion was to add language supporting real-time, machine-readable, free-of-charge access to health information, including net price information. Our suggestion is to just, you know, discuss the problem of destination for delivery of electronic health information and some possible solutions there, like, you know, requiring a collection of destination, I think this is information, destination information from the patient, stimulates availability and the use of open source personal health record. This comes back to, and we can talk about these, I would say, do you want to talk about it individually, Carolyn? Do you think, or should we do the read them all and then come back?
I think we might as well just talk about them individually and at least feel like we're working through the slides and making progress.
Yeah, okay.
These, we had a number of comments from a couple of the HITECH members that we should address.
Yep. So what does this committee feel about the whole, our suggestion, the real-time, machine-readable, free-of-charge access to health information? The net price comment, that is something that when I look at it, I'm a little confused at that terminology, but maybe Christina or Brett or somebody could help educate me. What do you guys see with that? Is that wording, does that make sense to you?
This is Brett. I need a little more understanding myself. I don't know. It's not clear to me.
I when we look at this, I'm thinking the suggestion for that comment of net price may be talking about the total charges of what, you know, your costs may be, and that's been the whole recent discussion with CMS. I know that's relatively recent, and even the you know, non-enforceable rule of hospitals posting their prices to the web and making it accessible. I think that's what this comment is referencing. But to the degree of the overall meat of the comment, the real-time, machine-readable, free-of-charge access, it may be overkill. That's all I'm saying. I get the intent, but it may be a little bit of overkill.
Yeah, and I don't know, are we ready for real-time? Is that part of the legislation?
You know, I don't know. Good question.
It seems to me that that's probably aspirational. I'm certainly not the expert on the legislation that Elise Anthony is.
I just don't remember a real time being a phrase that was used, but yeah, it's got a lot of detail that I'm sure I could have missed.
I can't think of anything that referenced any time frame that was tighter than the 30 days, to be honest.
Yeah, so we can maybe table that and investigate as we read the bill, which is ginormous. But I don't recall. I honestly don't recall. So. Okay, so then maybe we can table that and just say, do these terms appear in 21st century cures? And if so, how do we reference them? Or if not, then what's the appropriate language to tie back appropriately? Is that kind of our suggestion on this one?
I think so, because there is language in there that talks about free of charge access to health information
yes.
for patients. I'm
yep.
assuming that's what they're referencing there. So maybe it's just kind yep. of an all-encompassing summary of a few things.
Yeah, that's why I thought when I read this, it feels like rapid fire of several ideas put together. It's a great suggestion. I just want to make sure we're accurate, right? I don't want to overstate or understate the problem.
Yep.
Okay.
I agree.
All right. So with that suggestion, then we will table it, looking for language in the bill. If the bill doesn't support that, then or the law doesn't support that, excuse me, then we'll make relevant language as appropriate within the report. Okay. Then for the next suggestion I'm sorry, was there a comment?
Aaron, this is Christina, and I'm still kind of going through this, and I wanted to see it a little more in context, but I don't think it's necessarily that our recommendations have to support what's in the current proposed rule. I think our recommendations should be focused on what gaps we see in access to patient information and interoperability. So I just want to make that distinction. I think we should align with what's in the rule and understand it. But if there are areas that we think need to be enhanced, I think we should take note of that as well.
That's a fair comment. That's a fair comment. Absolutely. Okay. So then maybe with that lens on, take a second look at this from what's out there already in language and see if there is indeed a gap, then we highlight that gap, whether it's in this report or maybe next year's report. Okay. All right, let's go to the next suggestion here, which is to discuss the problem of destination for delivery of health information to patients, with some possible solutions of requiring a collection of destination from the patients, stimulate availability and use of open source personal health record. What do we think about that? So I think what this comment is getting at is folks, patients still can't get their information in a timely way, right? So this is a way of enforcing or measuring are patients receiving that information, including the use of an open source PHR, which I don't really know what that looks like, what that really is. What do you all think?
I'm wondering if the PHR comment gets at the notion of data should be delivered in a format that is accessible to patients in some way, where you wouldn't want it in some sort of proprietary format where it's like, okay, fine, we sent you your record, but, when the person actually can't read it.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense to me.
I mean, I would think certainly we want to support delivery of information in formats that are useful and usable by patients. But I'm a little concerned about stipulating open source personal health records because my sense is that most personal health records have kind of gone out of use because people wound up having to enter their own information a second time or they weren't compatible with the many health records that people access through different providers and provider systems. It seems like it's pushing people to a technology they don't want to use anyway.
Yeah, that's interesting.
What if you eliminated the word open source? Would that be in use of a personal health record? Whether that be using Apple or another third party outside of your normal healthcare provider?
That's a good suggestion, although, to be honest, we'd probably need to look into that and spend some time investigating where the market is going with that, and is the market moving away from that and going more to a distributed model and those sorts of things like Apple, Health Vault, but the Apple Records and those kind of things. So it could be something we put in an idea list for the next year's report to investigate PHRs.
How about stimulate availability and use of patient-selected health records? How's that?
Does that get at the meat of what this did? But does that get at the meat of what this suggestion was from a high tech member? I think so.
I mean, because I think the critical issue is that the patient is making the choice about where it should go and how they want to use it. It's not being forced into some standard or some tool that maybe isn't what is appropriate for that person.
Christina, what do you think?
So on this one, I think that this section is the landscape analysis. So it's kind of the first part of the sentence or the first part of the suggestion is really the analysis, which is the problem with the delivery of the information to patients. And I think that the second part is more just proposed solutions from the comment. That's what I would gather. So I don't think the second part of the second bullet necessarily goes in the landscape analysis.
Okay. So it's maybe out of place then.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so then Carolyn, if I'm understanding the comment from this committee right, and correct me if I'm wrong, then that second half of this suggestion could go into a different part of the report, but we do need to go and research PHRs in general or change the verbiage, which I'm reluctant to do without understanding more from the member where they were going for with things. So maybe it's worth taking that second half and tabling it for the next year's report and doing some investigation. What do you think?
I think that's a fair way of approaching it. I definitely think we need to note the problem of destination, but I'm a bit hesitant, frankly, to even try to investigate this ourselves now and then put some recommendation in the draft that goes to HITECH on the 20th or 19th, because that's asking them to think about and vote on a whole new issue that we haven't presented in the past.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
That's kind of unfair to them in a sense, especially with all the NPRM stuff going on now.
Fair point. Okay. Well, then if this committee is good with that, then we'll move on to the next slide, unless there's any objection. All right.
Aaron, it's Michelle. I think we skipped the first bullet on this slide, the background.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, you mentioned it, but we didn't pause for discussion.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. It's been a Friday for me. Okay, so on the very top there were under the background area, the suggestion was discuss if the primary problem is a lack of or non-use of universal codes to label discrete observations, e.g. LOINC. The word primary problem is an interesting concept because there is a disconnect depending on what solution or what data set and then what they map back to. And I'll give you an example with things like patient-reported outcomes. A lot of that structure with PROs has not really been readily defined by the industry yet. Some have. Some map to LOINC. Some map to different structures. Some don't, depending on the discipline. So I can appreciate this comment. I don't know if that's the primary problem, though, when it comes to interoperability. What do you all think?
I think you could say it is a problem, but I agree. I'm not sure that it's the primary problem. I think that's one individual framing it in a way that hasn't really been adopted as the approach by the full high tech. So I'm a bit nervous about framing it that way in the report.
Because we do talk about standards in our interoperability section. We do talk about the need for, even more defined standards and whatnot, which of course, we're working on with the US CDI and other items. I don't know if I'm missing something with what this comment was going to that we already haven't addressed in the report. Brett or Christina?
Yeah, I would list it as a problem, but I agree it's not the primary problem, or I wouldn't want to list it as the primary problem.
I got to agree with that, and I think it's very specific, and I don't think we got to that level in the report.
Agreed.
No, we didn't.
Yep. Okay. All right, so I think we have then the answer to that suggestion. All right. Next slide, then. All right, privacy and security, my favorite section. Patient matching and verification. Suggestion on this one was to discuss the use of the last four digits of Social Security numbers as a potential matching key in introduction of a Medicare medical records ID. So I know we referenced the GAO report, and we do reference components of that report within the report already. I don't recall us even throwing out solutions like this already, and I'm reluctant to do that because I know the industry is still absorbing that report and still assessing, and there's a lot of things there that need to be worked through. Is that something that we want to use in this report, or is that something for next year's report to talk about possible solutions, including this suggestion? What do you all think?
I think I would feel most comfortable putting this on a list of ideas brought forth by members that could be discussed or addressed going forward in the next year, just like another appendix that says other comments and thoughts that were not addressed in this report include. I know that in the larger community there is a significant movement against using Social Security numbers as identifiers and matchers.
Yes.
And so I'm really uncomfortable trying to – I feel like there would be some people on the committee who would be uncomfortable with us sliding it in at the last minute when we discussed it previously, either within or without the context of the report.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
It's such an elephant in the room, that just a national ID number, that it will need to be addressed, but I'm not sure we want to get specific like this. And I would agree with Carolyn that Social Security numbers is not going to go over well, at least in the community that I'm a part of. We're trying to do everything just not to have to deliver those to different vendors, et cetera.
Agreed. Same here at UT. Same thing. Carolyn, what do you think? I'm not sorry, Carolyn. Christina, what do you think?
I agree. I mean, when I breezed through the slides really quickly before the meeting, I kind of stopped at that one and thought, oh, okay. But I think that for the landscape, there the key here is that a patient identifier, and if we want to do a such as something, we can discuss that and list examples that have been identified. It could be a way to work this in. But I think the main point is that the industry is really calling for a way to identify patients. And I think putting the social security number, I'm not sure if we're ready for that yet.
As an example, if you read the latest like Pew report on this, I mean, they even go into just how email address can give you a level of granularity that you didn't have before. So there may be ways to accomplish this without using social to get the same level of resolution and granularity that this concept. Not that this is a bad idea. I think all ideas are good ideas, but it may be something we need to look at in more aggregate. And again, I know in our report for this year, we do reference GAO and I believe we reference the Pew report as well. So this would be a great topic for next year's report to really go into and get meaty about. I think that's our go-forward plan. Is everybody in agreement with that?
I'm good.
Yes.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Good. All right. Next item on this around patient access information. Carolyn, you want to take this one?
Sure. So emerging platforms for data sharing by patients and caregivers. Does the mention of unstructured data need any clarification? A member of HITACH pointed out that unstructured data is only mentioned once in the report and in proper context, so this isn't a problem currently, but the individual also made the point that more precise language can be applied when talking about unstructured data. So it sounds largely semantic, but how do we feel about that?
I think Clem's brought that forward a couple different times. You know, there's no such thing as a totally unstructured report, just an unstructured payload, I believe is the terminology he used.
Yeah, and I can appreciate the essence of the comment. I when I think of unstructured, I think of non-delineable. So it's like a PDF document or something that's not doesn't have the resolution you need to be able to do something with the data and manipulate the actual data specifically. It's just data that's sitting out there with no reference that, you know, again, it's not machine ready. So I can appreciate the concept. Do we, and this again, I have no idea, is the word unstructured, does that appear in any of the, of 21st century cures or any of the recent rules? I don't know. Is that a common word or do they use a different word?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know. We may just need to research that so that we're using the right term. I appreciate, if it's Clem or whoever said this, I can appreciate the need to be specific about the language we use. So I get the intent. I don't know what the right word is for that. I think it's meant to be in the spirit of data that you can use and manipulate and use, you know, data intelligence around it or derive information from versus data that's just sort of, I don't call it frivolous, but just unusable. I think that's the intent.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so we can research that word to find the right word. This is where we need a good thesaurus. So there's a business idea. Somebody come up with a thesaurus of words from bills or that are signed into law. Okay, next slide. Interoperability. Need to improve data quality, provenance, and usefulness. Suggestion. Add discussion of clinical and operational workflow challenges faced when combining discrete codified data with data from other sources. Add discussion of clinical and operational workflow challenges, okay? I guess I understand the perspective here of the issues, but this is really generic. That's my concern with this.
The specific comment from the member suggests adding a brief discussion of the challenges that clinicians, individuals, and other stakeholders face when trying to make use of the data they receive from various sources. So, like, semantic and functional interoperability of electronic data is a barrier currently, requiring manual mapping of data elements and other approaches to work around the problem. For interoperable data to be truly useful for stakeholders, more integration of electronic data is needed. It feels like it's something that we all sort of recognize as a problem. I'm not sure it rises to the level of discussion, but I could see adding a sentence or two that's well-crafted that makes these points without, you know, detouring into more text that might create a burden for high-tech people to review before approving.
I agree in that I think we should comment towards the workflow challenges. I guess maybe I'm facing this because, you know, obviously being a healthcare CIO, I see it on the other side of that half the time when combining these data sets and data elements together, there's a workflow component to it that needs to be identified first upstream before you can even get to the point of trying to combine data and looking at output from that. So I don't want to go down a rabbit hole of, oh, well, you have this problem because you didn't define this workflow upstream. It could just take us off track. But I appreciate the comment that it is difficult. It is difficult. But there's a lot of dimensions to this.
Is it something that we want to put on the list of potential issues or discussions for fiscal year 19 instead? Is that a better way to deal with it?
It may be, just because I think the essence stands. I think it's important to explain this is not easy. It's not like just, you know, Legos. You're putting them together. It's a little bit more involved than that. Brett, I'm curious what you think. I mean, you deal with this as a practitioner. What do you think?
Yeah, this one, to me, I'm listening to you guys because, for me, this really hits home. If you're talking about MedRec or I'm getting lab data outside of my system, it really does change, clog up, however you want to say, workflows on a clinical level. You know, now my particular EHR vendor is working to sort of normalize some lab values with some of the bigger lab vendors, but it interrupts the clinical workflow because then I can't necessarily normalize, compare lab data, report on lab data that's coming from outside of my system. And then when you're talking about medicine reconciliation, I could pull it from two or three different spots, and now I've got a medicine that's duplicated on my med list to then try to figure out. I mean, so for me, there's some real world challenges with it, it may be covered through other areas if you're talking about standardizing different data sets and being able to work through it that way. But there are clinical and operational workflow challenges for sure.
Right.
It is an awfully generic statement. I would agree with you all. I think I would like it to be, like Carolyn mentioned, just a sentence or two that was well-crafted that rather than put it in the parking lot.
Okay. So maybe we could craft something for this report and then put it also on the ideas to really dig into if we need to for next year's report. That way we can really tease out the specifics as appropriate. Does that sound good?
Yeah, that's fair, because it is a very general, open-ended statement there.
It is. It is. And again, maybe I'm just, I see it from both sides, because, again, having put some of this stuff together, it's just interesting. Like, case in point, having a common dictionary for what the word outcome means, right? Any health institution, you ask two people what the word outcome means, they'll define it differently for you. It's just interesting. So, Christina, what do you think?
Yeah, it was helpful to hear what it in context. So thank you, Carolyn. I think that we've talked a lot about workflow challenges in general within our high-tech meetings. And I think that if we can provide any text or support on what some of those specific workflow challenges are, I think it would be extremely valuable. So I think that we should look at this comment within the text of the report and just do kind of a double check and see if we don't need to expand this section. But I agree with the other comments that we should just have a high level couple sentences to address it.
Okay. Sounds good. Next slide. Back to privacy and security. Okay. So under lack of user awareness and education on privacy security protection, suggestion came to us for discuss the federal role of supporting compliance with privacy and security regulations such as HIPAA for current uses of HL7 FHIR APIs. Sometimes the more patient data than necessary is being shared with business associates need formal guidance. discuss the federal role for supporting compliance with privacy and security regulations. I'm a little lost as to, are they, is this suggestion related to APIs in general being adopted and what's going to happen with downstream applications ingesting that data and how are they governed? This is a little nebulous for me. And again, I may be too close to the subject. I'm not seeing this right. Carolyn, how do you read this?
Well, the initial comment from the member, there was an example of business associates receiving lab results even when that's not necessary. And then to further open it up, formal guidance should also be provided on compliance with relevant privacy and security regulations, such as HIPAA, of current uses of FHIR APIs, such as in Smart on FHIR applications or CDS hooks services. That would be like sending full patient demographic details in all cases, the use of broadly scoped data access tokens.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of gets at sending more than people really need and circulating data unnecessarily.
Yeah. So what's interesting is, I was part of the API FACA a couple of years ago, and in that we actually did a really good job of highlighting, what falls under the purview of HIPAA, what doesn't fall under the purview of HIPAA, what falls under different jurisdiction, and OCR did a great job of trying to explain. It is a murky space, so I get the question. And we also referenced that output of that work group in our report. So maybe we could comment to the continued need to keep pushing that information higher and distribute it more. I don't know. What do you all think? Brett or Christina, what do you think?
Yeah, I just think referencing the previous statement that we had before, I think that more than covers it.
Christina, comments? What do you think?
I don't have any comments right now.
Okay. So, Carolyn, do you then agree that maybe we take this and we just highlight again the output from that API work group and I know there was also security task force or Tiger Team, as they used to call it back in the day, that was put together for anything around APIs? Because I think with the information blocking rule and a lot of API language there, there'll be much more to dig into for next year as that rule is finalized and whatnot.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's fine.
Okay. Perfect.
And that helps us keep a lot of repetitive stuff out of people's faces also.
Great point. That's a great point. Okay. Next slide. All right, you want to take this one, Carolyn?
Sure. So, suggestion in the section on lack of patient and caregiver access to patient data, discuss adding terms like real-time, machine-readable, free of charge when discussing the gaps for patient access to health information, and including net price information as a type of information to be shared with patients. We talked about this previously in a prior section, and I can add that I remain confused about net price information. And even if it's what you sort of think it is, which is like the final cost to you, the patient, after we've applied your insurance conditions and discounts and whatever, I think in a lot of cases that's just not necessarily knowable right down to the last dollar, even when you have some ballpark ideas. So I'm a bit hesitant to expect or to imply that we think that people should be able to get absolutely exacting bills before services are rendered and one knows what will happen during the clinical engagement.
Got it. So I just had to pull the business definition, and there's a reference here that I think is interesting. At the price at which a product or service is sold after all taxes and other costs are added and discounts subtracted, the price might be referred to as sticker price, and after any additional charges are added to it, it becomes the net price. So to your point, the net price is the final price after everything is said and done. What is the exact amount you're paying? Which, to your point, may be confusing in healthcare world because of how the price of a Big Mac is pretty much, you know, known in business world as a way to look at economies and how healthy something is. It's not the same way in healthcare where you look at the price of what a hip replacement would be. So to the degree of it, it may be difficult to use the word net price. So I agree with you on that. I think, to me, I would recommend we follow the same recommendation we did with the first time this was popped up. What do you all think?
Yeah, Aaron, I would agree.
Okay. Carolyn, if you're good, then we'll go to the next slide.
Yep, I'm good.
All right, next slide. All right, interoperability, address the reality gap between the perception of what has been certified and what is truly interoperable. A suggestion for this was to add another example of a range of codes for lab testing allowed in CCDA documents. What do we think about the suggestion?
I like the addressing the reality gap because I think that does exist. I'm not sure I'm following the suggestion of the example.
I think this is a very specific example, and I mean, I'd like to see it in context and to see what other examples we have. But this seems, once again, very, very specific.
I guess, yeah, it is very specific, and I'm just trying to figure out, is this get back to the intent and the overall nature of what our comment was with the reality gap? Because we as a group deliberately put that word in there because that's exactly how it feels. But, I mean, what's allowed in a continuity of care document is just interesting. Carolyn, what do you think?
I'm just pulling up the comment here from the member. Does the work group agree this is a good example and should be added to the section? The citation of the problem was from a 2014 survey, so there's a question of whether this is still as much of a problem now as it was, you know, when that reference came out. The individual also gave a more recent example of CMS removing measure of compliance with standardization of lab testing, but LabCorp sent a letter documenting that widespread standardization isn't yet the case. So it feels really murky, to be honest. Is this maybe that, therefore, something that we should put on the list of things to look at for 2019?
Mm-hmm. I think so. And thank you for reading the context. That's helpful to know. Okay. Yeah, I think we look at this for 2019. Because, again, I get the intent, but to your point, we should maybe expand upon this. All right.
It feels like it deserves more of a more in-depth research and discussion and really a more thoughtful, detailed explication of the problem.
Agreed. It is a problem. I can appreciate the comment of it. But there is a lot to this, right? There's a lot that feeds that and why. And items that are being addressed also by the USCDI group, right? I think that will help this problem, but that could be part of the overall solution to this. Okay. All right, next item here, recommended high-tech activity, further measure whether systems are truly interoperable at both content and transport levels after implementation, especially among smaller practices and by patients. So the suggestion here is change measure to assess. Okay, because one, will there be sufficient data to measure? And two, would the high-tech measure systems interoperability or assess interoperability based on function?
I think that that's a fair point because measure, typically people do interpret that as you're counting something and then perhaps relating it to other similar items or time periods, or, you know, there's some sort of reference to some other standard or baseline. And assess, I think, is a little bit more leeway, particularly if something's progressed to a point where you can assess them qualitatively. but not necessarily quantitatively.
So remember when we talked about this several months back, when we first talked about measurement and whatnot and about the need to be as precise as possible, because we didn't want to get into the, well, under whose judgment are you basing that this is good or bad, right? We wanted something with like some sort of metric-based, scorecard-based, that sort of thing. I just worry that if we use the word assess, that it may be too nebulous to really hone in on. Is that fair, or do you think I'm just overthinking it?
No, I think that's a good point. I mean, maybe there's an in-between word. Evaluate isn't stronger than assess. Maybe it's a bit stronger, but compare to baseline.
Can we do just further assess and measure when possible?
We could. I just, if HITECH does look at systems and says, hey, you know, is this really working or not, or is this a, you know, snake oil? If we're not pointing to something specific that we're like, hey, the minimum floor is X, and you either hit X or you didn't, that's one thing. But if we say collectively what this is doing is just, you know, not going to cut mustard, there can be a lot of room in the community to say no. So we could say we're able to measure, like you're saying, Christina, or we could say evaluate, and over next year's report, we can actually define what the criteria is.
Yep, I was just about to say maybe what we want to say is evaluate now, and where measurements are currently not possible, establish measures during fiscal year 19 so that measurement can occur in future years.
That
forces you to start addressing what is very vague right now.
That's fair. That's very fair. Okay. Brett, you good with that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, perfect. Okay. Next item on here, other opportunities for further consideration. Again, this is a whole established metrics. Okay. Suggestion, should this statement say metrics or best practices? Establish usability metrics for health information exchange. Should this statement say metrics or best practices? Again, this goes back to our point of wanting to actually measure health information exchange, right? And again, trying to be specific. To me, it's metrics, but maybe it's a different word than metrics. What do you all think?
I guess I kind of feel like we've had best practices forever, and either they haven't been implemented or they aren't truly best practices or something, because clearly issues still exist. So I'm kind of more in the metrics camp, I think. Because with best practices, there's just not an impetus to meet a particular bar. It's kind of like, well, you tried, or you should try.
I agree with that statement.
Yeah. Yeah, here's a, well, you tried cake, right? No, it's got to be something specific. okay. I mean, I'll give a specific example here. I'm aware of major metropolitan cities where you have hospitals that refuse to share commercial pay information with each other. They'll share indigent care information with each other, but they refuse to share commercial information with each other for no other reason than they don't want to. So to me, I would love to measure and say, hey, guess what? This metropolitan area is refusing to do this. Why? And let the question then be asked. And this is a behavior that goes on across the country all the time. People refuse to share. So even when I mention, hey, information blocking rules are going to forbid some of this behavior, people just shrug and say, deal with it. So it's interesting.
Yeah, we don't want to award any medals for trying.
Right.
We need to forecast that.
Agreed. Brett, do you have any feelings about this? I'm sure you do.
I would 100% agree with metrics. Yeah, best practices don't move the needle in my world.
Yeah, okay. All right, so we have metrics then.
Do you really
all right.
get that kind of attitude, Aaron?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've gotten it now in two major metropolitan areas, and I have literally strongly resented those comments from folks, and they literally will not share commercial data. I mean, unless it's for treatment purposes, but they won't generally share it via an HIE or anything. That's it. I mean, that's just the purpose of it. And it's very difficult. And that's common. And it's sad.
I'm not surprised by the commonality. I'm surprised with the attitude that you've been faced with regarding it. So now I think I understand the new rules and fines a little bit better.
Exactly. Happy to share some war stories behind the scenes so you can hear the details of it, because I'm sure you'll be as appalled as I was. Again, not for treatment purposes, but just generally speaking, like even for syndromic surveillance or whatnot, you know, having the more data is better. And people refuse, unless it's the Intergen care, then sure. You can have all the Intergen data you want. But when it comes to commercial, no, for the fear of you may take our patients, our paying patients. It's crazy. Okay, before I go on a soapbox about that, next slide. All right, privacy and security. Recommended high-tech activity. Consider federal role in setting guidelines for exchange of data. Yes. So, suggestion, change the word consider to describe a more narrow activity. Okay. Is that really stating that they don't want us to, this is what we said before with the HIE, more or less be more definitive? What do you all think with the word consider?
Was there anything more to that comment, Carolyn? Because it seems like if you're going to say you need to change the word, you can give an idea of what you want it changed to.
Yep. At the 220 high tech meeting, this individual said that the activity seems too broad as written. It affects two recommendations. This is where I had said, you know, there are certain kinds of specific language that are used in legislation and also in the way that we have to respond. And consider is a way to cover a broad range of activities without as a work group trying to say high tech needs to do this or that. I mean, the thought that comes to me is, if we get more specific, are we then saying that we think high tech should be, for example, advocating that OCR does such and such, or FDA does such and such, or I mean, as an advisory committee, there's a limit to what we can be pushing other agencies to do. And I'm not sure that you'd get good agreement, because the people on the high tech represent such a wide range of stakeholders. I think you'd get a lot of pushback on different things, no matter what you tried to present.
Is there a different word than consider that means consider, though? And so maybe it looks like we're taking a stronger sense. So I'm trying to play devil's advocate here. Could it be perhaps recommend options for the federal role or something to that effect?
Review federal role.
Yeah.
Review and recommend.
Yeah, review and recommend. Yeah, I like that. That's a little bit more definitive, right? So a little more narrow to the comment here.
Yeah, without saying that we think that we have
the right to right.
Be telling federal agencies what to do.
Exactly. Or in this case, telling states what to do, right? We don't want to say thou shall. That's the last thing we want to get in the middle of.
I agree.
Okay.
I want to hear from Brett and Christina before we make a decision about that.
Go ahead, Christina.
I like the review and recommend. I think that sounds great.
Yeah, I do as well.
Okay. That's settled. Next suggestion, discuss whether this recommendation covers any data collected by the states within the all-payer claims databases that currently are being sold by the states to third parties to maintain sustainability, but goes beyond supporting research of public health. I really don't even know
item
much.
Item for review.
Pardon?
Go ahead, Christina.
Oh, no, I was just going to say this seems specific. It's one of the items for review, and I think that this recommendation was generally broad. I mean, purposefully broad.
The comment that goes with that is, if mentioned in the report, this detailed point might better fit in the gap analysis in the section titled Variability of Information Sharing Policies Across States. When I think about it, I think it is a good fit in the gap analysis.
I agree.
I would agree, but I'm going to caution that there was a few comments in here that I don't know. I just don't know the supporting documentation. Example, you know, are all the states, because the way I read this is that all the states are selling data to third parties to maintain sustainability. Is that a true statement? Yes or no? I don't know. And then does that really go beyond supporting research or public health initiatives? I don't know. I also feel just sort of like I'm lacking some knowledge on this from a state level, and saying states just generally like that, it means all 50 states are doing this? Really? I don't know. So I just worry about putting that in the report without the facts to back it up, and do we have the timeline to go research this to state that?
Can we put it on the list of things we could investigate? Would that be more comfortable?
Yeah, I think it's a fair comment. I don't want to lose sight of it. I don't feel comfortable myself saying that, yep, I agree with that. I don't know.
That's a fair point. I don't know either, at least as specific as that gets, like with the all-payer claims databases. Yeah, that's a true point. It's one of those things that feels like it's probably true on the surface of it, but you're right. We should be sure that we actually have evidence to support that before we include it.
Mm-hmm. Is everybody in agreement with that, or is there some opposition?
No, I'm in agreement.
Sounds good.
Okay. Next item on here, consider the impact of the nationwide adoption of cybersecurity frameworks and delineate cybersecurity accountability for data by role. The suggestion was change the word considered to describe a more narrow activity. Oh, I love this I love this suggestion. I really do. Personally, I'm so passionate about frameworks and minimum floors and whatnot, but I think I have to go back to what we said for the first one on here, review and propose or whatever, you know, something a little more narrow than consider beyond mandate, not as strong as mandate, but, you know, review and recommend or something like that.
I'm comfortable with that if everyone else is.
Yes.
Christina, good with that?
I was just reading it over again. Reading the sentence, do we want to do like review and provide guidance on the impact of?
Yeah, recommend a review and provide. Yeah, absolutely. I can appreciate their wanting to be a more definitive stance. Yeah, yep.
Thinking through review it out recommend. Loud when you called on me.
I know, it's how I run meetings. Okay. Next slide. All right. Carolyn?
Cool. So, recommended high-tech activity, measure impact of monetization of data exchange. The suggestion is to change measure to assess, because will there be sufficient data to measure this? I guess just thinking off the top of my head, I would kind of like the approach we mentioned for the other one about measure and assess, in the sense of measure what we can and kind of look at identifying or developing some measurements for the future where we can't measure today.
I think that sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you.
Any thoughts, Brett?
No, I agree with you.
Okay. And then a similar point with regard to the recommended activity, measure amount, length of time a portal has been online working properly, patient engagement, inter-patient understanding and use of data. Again, measure to assess, and I think I'm still comfortable with the same thought that we're going to use for the other two instances of measure to assess.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Great. Agreed.
Okay. Let's go to the next slide.
All right, so we're planning. Yep, go ahead.
So this is the part where we talk about the presentation of the revised amended draft and how Aaron and I will offer it to the committee and approach getting approval. Because ideally we would get a vote at this March meeting and get it approved so that we can hand it off to the national coordinator and ONC can go about the final, you know, tidying and neatening of the document and then take that to HHS and Congress. So what are we thinking in terms of sort of the way we approach this? It occurs to me that it might be helpful. What will go out to the members, I believe, will be probably two drafts of the annual report, one that has track changes so that people can easily see what we've changed, and another with all those track changes accepted so you can read it more easily and see, you know, the text. Sometimes when you have done a lot of work in track changes, it's hard to follow the flow of sentences because you get so much markup in it. So I think that's fair. In terms of addressing all the changes that we have created, I'm wondering if it might be useful to have some slides with a three-column chart, the first column being who presented the comments, the middle column being a basic summary or a brief gist of what the comment was, like change, measure to assess, and then the third column being the action that we've taken, where Aaron and I could talk through the things that we've talked through today and just basically say we made this change because X, we took this issue and decided that it's something that really needs a greater investigation and some research and discussion at the high-tech level. So we've put it on your possible to-do list for fiscal year 2019. In that sense, you know, kind of showing people that we've actually taken their feedback to heart and worked through all of it, and also not kind of burdening them with the number of comments we got that related to typos and things that aren't issues that are discussion, but just, you know, housekeeping for the paper itself. How do you all feel about that?
I think it makes sense to me.
Yeah, it sounds great, Carolyn.
I feel like if we're really transparent and try to show people how we've worked to address their concerns, that we are then in the strongest position to say it's genuinely a full high-tech product and, you know, can we go forward with it as a full high-tech item that we've delivered and move on to other business. And in showing people the final draft, you know, they can see the changes and it's all very transparent. They don't have to worry about us having slipped something in that they're not aware of, you know, that might later come back to haunt or come up in future work in ways they didn't expect.
Right. And I guess also it sets precedent, right? So future report groups and report outs will follow the same type of format, which I am all about transparency and, you know, making sure everybody feels heard. And we've had some great feedback and dialogue with high-tech members. So I think it's a great idea, Carolyn.
Cool. Yeah, and you know, in this way, people can see that their feedback was valued and the time that they spent reading the document actually meant something and was taken and used.
Cool.
So are there other thoughts about things that you all think would be helpful or presentation issues or situations that you would like to see reflected in what we bring forward to the full high tech?
I think this sounds great. We've shown the draft, and I really liked the supporting materials with the one-page snapshot. So I don't have any other suggestions.
And Christina, because you've been such a huge stalwart on this and a really big help, did the flow of the report, as it's now all finally put together, make sense?
Yeah, I think so. And this last round, I was kind of waiting to see what the rest of the committee input was. And now once we get it all, I'm looking forward to taking another read through. But I think it's looking great.
Awesome. I agree. Okay.
Well, what's next? Let's see. Let's look at the next slide.
I think that brings us to public comment. Yeah. So I know we're a little bit ahead of schedule, but before we open it up for public comments, are there any other discussion items that we should touch on before public comment?
Maybe we should talk about when we want to get started with the next report for 2019. I know we've made this kind of passing reference to it several times about spring, but you know, today is March 1 and the equinox is coming up in 19 days. So maybe we should at least define for ourselves the break that we want to take, you know, so we kind of know what hopefully our headspace is before we get going on the next one.
When is the April high tech?
April 10.
April 10. All right, so we have between March, middle of March and April 10. I mean, do we want to start right about the time of the next high tech, assuming that this high tech adopts and accepts the report as is for FY18?
I would suggest that we, as soon as we're done with these new task force, these 60 days, because most of us, I would assume, are going to be on those and it's going to require a lot of work.
You remind me.
Yeah, that was my understanding.
Fair. That's a fair point. That is a fair point.
That would get us out to like mid-May, which actually I think is a good break for us, just headwise and, you know, and feeling like we've had a break from all of this.
Because at the end of the 60 days, I mean, I'm sure there'll be a high tech to discuss the feedback of 60 days and what's being finalized, right? So the timing will be good going into a new report because we'll have that feedback to take into the next report and to sort of firm up our thoughts.
That's an excellent point, Aaron.
Okay, so we are then penciling in May-ish for like mid-May or so, give or take. Okay.
Yeah, and depending on how many meetings and how intense things get as high tech wraps up the NPRM stuff, maybe that even slides into after Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we wind up, I mean, technically the 60 days would be up something like May 4 or 5, but if there's
it's actually midnight on May 3rd.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we have our next full high-tech meeting on May 13th.
Okay. So depending on if there's any activity that we still need to wrap up after the 13th, maybe we look at say, the first week of June or at least after Memorial Day.
So we get through
the day.
That's a great thought. All right, so we'll do post-Memorial Day. We'll reconvene for the start of the next chapter. I love it.
Okay. That should be good. And then we'll be fresh, too.
Okay.
Anything else, especially in preparation for the March 19th meeting? Are we good there?
I think so. I feel good for it. I don't know. Carolyn, what do you think?
I think so. Will we be presenting on the 19th or the 20th? Do we know yet?
It will be the 19th.
Okay. So will you be there? Will everybody be there for both those days?
Oh, yeah.
I will.
Yep.
Okay.
I'll be there.
So if we get some sort of asteroid request or comment from outer space, potentially we could huddle for half an hour at the end of the meeting on the 19th. And if it's something that we can immediately address, perhaps we could return it to the high tech the next day. Maybe we can find a way to carve out a few minutes, Lauren, and see if we can present that and get agreement and get approval. Obviously, if it's a massive issue, then we shouldn't be thinking that way. But if it's a small shift, maybe we can still find a way to resolve the business on the 20th.
Yeah, if we need it. It was a good thought.
I mean, looking at this and thinking about the comments, it's hard for me to envision that happening. I don't even know what that would be. But you never know. So...
Yeah, Michelle and I were just discussing that very same point earlier. You know, if it gets to that point, maybe we could, maybe just spend the first part of the meeting on the 20th resolving any outstanding issues. But, you know, of course, we'll just kind of play it by ear.
Okay.
Sounds good. Exciting. Love it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, why don't we just break for public comment now? Since it sounds like we are kind of wrapping up. Operator, can you open the line for public comment?
If you would like to make a public comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your comment from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys.
Okay, I know we have a relatively light audience today, but operator, do we have anyone in the queue?
There is no one in the queue at this time.
Okay. Well, I'll hand it back to Aaron and Carolyn for any outstanding items or last-minute remarks.
I just want to thank everyone for hanging in there and attending all these meetings and working with us on the first ever annual report. I think we have a really great work product to bring forward, and I'm proud to have worked with you all and really looking for some good resolution.
And I absolutely agree with that, and I think it's a fantastic precedence-making, and I'm really proud of what this committee is going to be able to turn around to Dr. Rucker and to the Secretary and beyond. I think it really meets the letter of the spirit of what 21st Century is all about, 21st Century Cures is all about, and it's just a really, really great moment. So thank you all.
Awesome, and thanks for your leadership on this work group. So we're looking forward to later this month when we present the final draft. Michelle,
awesome.
Anything else?
No, we covered everything I need. Thank you.
Okay, great. Well, we will adjourn here a few minutes early, and have a great weekend, everyone.
Thank you. Happy Friday.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.